May grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you in the name of our living Savior, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. I want to encourage you, if you have brought your Bibles, to take them out and open them to Psalm 29, which we heard read, and as Amber read it for us already, and it's printed in your bulletins if you don't have a Bible, but the best place to read the Scriptures is in your own Bible. This is a great place where you can even write down your notes. Little thoughts that come to you as God's living word comes alive in your life. So we're just 7 days into 2018. There are days and there are days, aren't there? I wonder for you as we turn the corner from the season of celebrating and holidays, the season of eating chocolate for breakfast, sometimes 3 days in a row, to the season of eating normal food, and maybe backing off on the icing sugar and choosing the apple once in a while. In the season of darkness, which is now giving away to light, but cold at least, as they say on February 24th, statistically speaking, is the coldest day of the year. Still have some cold ahead. In the season of post-Christmas spending, when you are perhaps looking at your own budgets and thinking, wow, we need to tighten our belts here. In the season of January and February, when sometimes, with not a whole lot to look forward to, our lives can become kind of bleak, I wonder how your days are going. Do you feel riveted with awe-struck wonder, as the author of How Great Thou Art did when he or she was looking at, I think it was a man at least credited, writing about the mountain grandeur, or the brook, or the stars? Do you feel shot through with rays of glory, as the psalmist does in Psalm 29, when that author wrote about the voice of the Lord thundering over the waters? Do you feel like your days are filled with edge of your seat type of excitement? Just wondering, looking at the crackling universe, what's going to happen next? Do you feel breathless when you wake up in the morning, ready for the day to start? Do you perhaps wake up and jump out of bed, eager, anticipating what life may come? Well, there are days and there are days, aren't there? And as the Emoji movie of last year pointed out, lots of days, we are summed up with that emoji that says, meh. Those of you who watched the movie get the reference. What cuts through the meh for you? This is the point. What is it that can wake us up from this meh? For the psalmist in Psalm 29, it was a thunderstorm. And I want to try and paint the scene for you a little bit. Those of you who've been to Israel, maybe have had that privilege, may have been to Haifa or Mount Carmel, which is immediately to the south and the east a little bit of the city of Haifa. Now, it's coastal, but it's actually inland a little bit. It's an elevated place, probably where Elijah, the prophet, faced the prophets of Baal, if you remember that Old Testament story. It overlooks a wide prospect of the whole land of Israel and the Mediterranean Sea there, the ocean. And if you were standing on that high point, as perhaps the psalmist was, we don't know, but if you were standing on that place, then you could look north and west towards the water and perhaps see a thunderstorm brewing. Often that's where thunderstorms begin, over the water. Verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. Now, if you were watching that thunderstorm, and as it moves in and makes landfall to the north of that high spot, it would be Lebanon, which you would be looking north into the land of Lebanon or Syrian in ancient times. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars, and you might think of a lightning bolt striking the forest, hitting a cedar tree, making it split open. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The land shaking at the presence of the Lord. And if you were watching that electrical storm, maybe you would be riveted by its spectacular power. And verse 7, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness, and the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Now, Kadesh is way further south. It's down towards the south of Jerusalem, even into the wilderness. And so what we're picturing here and what the psalmist is painting is this image of God in a thunderstorm, in a storm, filling the whole land with water, with rain, with a deluge. And then we come to verse 9, the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth, a peculiar verse if there ever was one, and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, now we're in Jerusalem, now we've come to the middle of the land, the high point, if you've ever been to Jerusalem, it's on a mountain. And the temple is on the very highest point in the city. In his temple, all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. I wonder if you've ever been in a flood like that, where the rising floodwaters maybe make the power go off and maybe make the roads impassable and the waterways treacherous, and you are landlocked. Maybe you even fled to high ground like those in Jerusalem fled to the temple, and you're immobilized by that flood, and there's nowhere to go, except perhaps to pray and say, glory, as you witness the awesome power of God's creation. Watching a thunderstorm inspired the psalmist to write about God's glory. May the Lord give strength to his people, he prays towards the end of this poem. May the Lord bless his people with peace, recognizing that it is from God and God alone that we have peace and strength. I wonder what it would be for you that could cut through the humdrum and the mundane in your days and bring you to that place of breathless wonder, awestruck, riveted by God's power. What could inspire worship in your heart, not just in this room, but everywhere as you walk down the street, as you look at the dirty slush? What is it that could inspire your sense of awestruck wonder? Today is Epiphany. Yesterday was Epiphany. The day when the church celebrates the revelation of the mystery of the incarnation, Jesus, the Word made flesh, now revealed to all people, as traditionally the wise men are thought to have arrived and are celebrated at least at arriving at Jesus' house at Epiphany. God in the flesh. Jesus in this world, a baby, vulnerable, fragile, and yet filled with power. The same God who spoke the universe into existence, now here, growing bit by bit, learning to speak, learning to walk. Does it take your breath away, this gospel message? Does it take your breath away anymore that Jesus, God's Son, was sent into the earth, as the author of How Great Thou Art put it so eloquently, sent his Son to die to take away my sin? Does it leave you breathless? Sometimes familiarity with the gospel story can give us that meh mentality. Lest we say that about our Lord, can we unwrap this story again? Can it become real in your life? It was a puzzling question to me as I was contemplating Psalm 29 this week. Why is it that we don't live more often in breathless wonder? Why is it that there's such an attitude of been there, done that, if you remember this fad from a few years ago? In fact, I have some great friends, Lutheran friends, who have matching sweatshirts. They say, certified old Lutheran, been there, done that, still praying. What is it about that phrase that draws people in? Been there, done that. It's a depressing phrase, isn't it? I am bothered by this phrase. The author of Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. And sure, I've had days when I felt like there's nothing new under the sun. But I pray that those days would be limited and that they would go away and that they would give way to days when everything under the sun is new. I wonder why it is that we don't live in breathless wonder more often. Is it that there is nothing new under the sun? Or, as I suggest, perhaps as an alternative, gently, or have we been eating the icing sugar? If you can string along in the metaphor with me, have we been reaching for what is easy and immediate? Have we been listening to what our itching ears want to hear, as the author puts it in another place? Is there nothing new under the sun, or do we just need a refreshed spirit to be able to see what it is that God is bringing into new light in our lives? Is there nothing new under the sun, or do we just need to perhaps fast a little bit and wait and see with fresh eyes the goodness of each day? Then perhaps might we be struck with awestruck wonder, like the psalmist, like the poet, like all who in their spirits bubble up with this praise. By the power of resurrection life in Jesus, dear friends, the good news to you is that you can live every day in awestruck wonder. You can wake up in the morning and feel this crackling life within you, overcoming every obstacle. You can feel the close presence of God. You can feel Jesus, the mystery of the incarnation, the Word made flesh, and also crucified and resurrected for you. This is the new life which Jesus brings. And when our days are full of Him, let me tell you, when our days are full of Him, look out, world. There's this word at the beginning of the psalm, and this was really I was curious about the whole psalm, this word ascribe really caught my attention. Ascribe, says the psalmist three times in the first two verses, ascribe to the Lord. What does this word mean? We don't use it very often, do we? Ascribe. We say subscribe a lot, right? Subscribe is the opposite of ascribe. And subscribe is whatever it is that you take in. And so maybe you have a subscription to something, like a magazine. I used to subscribe to National Geographic. Or maybe you have a subscription to Netflix or to Google Play or to whatever it is that you subscribe to. Subscriptions are what we take in, what we believe is worth listening to. What about ascriptions? When the psalmist says, ascribe to the Lord, what is that psalm, what is he or she inviting us to do? Well, it's to speak out. It's what comes out of our lives that we ascribe. And with particular focus on the Lord, we ascribe to something. Ascribing to the Lord means telling God or speaking out to the earth what it is we believe about God. Ascribe to the Lord, says the psalmist three times. Ascribe glory and strength. In other words, say, glory and strength are of the Lord. It made me curious, this word, ascribe, because it's a verb, but it seems a verb that we don't pay attention to very much. To what do you ascribe, I wonder? And what do you say when you do it? In other words, a good question is, what are you publishing with your life? What is your life story about? As you are read by the world, and by the way, the world is reading you, they're watching you, they're watching your reactions, they're reading what blogs you post or little status updates you might be including. They're looking at the pictures that you share. The world is reading you, and back in the day, it used to be that if you wanted to be read, you had to submit your work to a publisher, right? You had to write a letter and say, I've written this, and the publisher would decide whether it's worth printing. Back when printing something was the only way for the world to read it. Nowadays, you don't have to have a publisher. You can be self-published. In fact, many, and I would say largely, almost every single person my age or younger is self-publishing constantly. sometimes up to 25 times a day, and you have to be constantly on your device to read everything it is that everybody is publishing. So what are you publishing? You have that power. With a phone or with a computer or even just with your voice or with the visual presentation of yourself in the world, what is it that you're publishing? This is a question that I leave you with. I invite you to own this question. What is it that you are publishing? As the psalmist says, ascribe or publish. Publish this about God. What is it that you are publishing about Him? When you think about the way people dress, this is often the simplest way that we publish, isn't it? And have you ever watched those lapel buttons? You see those people that wear a button. And sometimes a button speaks volumes, doesn't it? You can see from across the room what someone is presenting. If they have a button, perhaps that has maybe a rude gesture on it. Sometimes people wear those kind of buttons. Maybe that's a sign, don't talk to me. I'm not friendly. Or maybe they're wearing a button that says, ask me, I know. Right? Have you ever seen people wearing those kind of buttons? Maybe it's kind of ironic or peculiar to our generation, but it's popular these days. There's buttons with symbols like unicorns on them. Unicorns don't believe in you, one button says. These things are puzzling, I know, to many of us. What do people publish as they present themselves to you these days? Some people in the news media, at least, publish fear. Be afraid, they say, in various and many ways. Be very afraid. Things are going downhill and they're going to get worse. That pain you're feeling is just the beginning. Be afraid. Do you publish this? Another very common thing that people publish is simply this. It's love me. Pay attention to me. Desire me. Look at me. Wish you were me. But underneath all of those superficial statements is this cry, love me, love me. What do you publish, I wonder, with your life? A very common statement, very common theme that we see all over, buy my stuff. You might look at someone and right away you know, I'm going to be asked to buy your stuff. You are coming to me with a proposal that you want to sell me something. Another very, very common theme is simply this. You might hear people publish this all the time. It just goes like this. Ah! You ever been around people like that? Their life is like a scream. It's a cry for help, perhaps. Their life seems out of control, and they're inviting you to intervene. And there, you have a choice. You can either step in and come to the rescue, or you can say, I think I'm busy. Dear friends in Christ, what do you publish? What is it that you are given to write with your life? As you read the words of Psalm 29, as you think about what we do here in worship each week, week after week, as you are filled with the resurrection life of Jesus, what is it that you are going to publish? It seems to me that the thing most worth publishing, as I have come to understand it, is wonder itself. Curiosity that leads to creativity. When we publish wonder, as the psalmist in Psalm 29 does, when we think about that which was beyond us, which we have not fully grappled with, when we consider the majesty, the infinity of God, when we publish wonder, something speaks that is greater than us. And so I invite you, as you read, as you study, as you live, as you fill your days with whatever you fill them with, to cultivate wonder, to live your days in that awe-struck, crackling vantage point where you can see the wonder of God in the world unfolding, where you can see heaven beginning to open and the Spirit of God coming down, and where you can describe what you see with a sense of breathless glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. May the Lord give strength to His people May the Lord bless his people with peace, and in his temple all cry, glory. Amen.